If you turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know, many times we walk into a bookstore and you can find numbers of books, a lot of books telling you how to invest your money on how to get rich. Investing your money in these books make the authors rich. But there are two questions you must ask about these books. Is it a reliable book? Can I trust what the author is saying? And then second, is it useful for me? A lot of the problem with most investment books is that they assume you have a big why just waiting to be invested. You have already hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest. Again, that doesn't help me. It may help some of you guys. But I need a book that speaks to me where I'm at. And if you can show me a book that has proven to be reliable and useful, I'll buy it and read it. You know, we have a book here. We all know that it tells us how to invest our lives for a maximum profit. This book has been proven to be totally reliable. No one has ever followed its life investment strategies and been disappointed. The book is useful to every human being, right where they're at, and yet, strangely, it sits neglected on our shelves while we read newspapers and watch television. You know, we're talking about the Bible. The Bible is reliable and useful for every person. The Bible is not a good luck charm. Having a copy in a prominent place in the house will not rub off on a family member. Any book, the Bible will profit you only if you read it, study it, and apply it to your life. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 here, starting with verse 14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." This morning we're going to look at the word "all scripture is given by inspiration of God." Again, if we can't prove that point, if we can't back up that the Word of God is inspired by God Himself, then there's no need for this. There's no need for, we have no hope, we have no joy, we have to prove that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. There are 66 books written by 40 people on three continents and three languages over a 1,600-year period. It is consistent throughout and tells of the history of a chosen people whom God appointed to bring forth the Messiah. The Bible's influence extends not only to the hearts of individuals, but also in the shaping of nations. It's full of wisdom and full of truth. It is the most published book in the world. If you turn back with me to Job chapter 26, the Word of God is also scientifically accurate. Job 26:7. Job chapter 26, verse 7, he says, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing." You know, if I remember correctly, people used to think that the world was flat. And somewhere you just all of a sudden fell off of it. I don't know where that was. But in the Word of God, it says it hangs in space, it hangs on nothing. And again, science proves that. If you walk and walk and walk and walk, you'll go all the way around. I don't think you can walk that far, but you'll come back right here if you walk long enough. But the world hangs in space and it hangs on nothing. In Psalms, it talks about the existence of oceans and the currents in the seas. In Genesis chapter 15, it says that the stars are innumerable. It's impossible to count all the stars that are in space. The Word of God teaches so many amazing things. Teaches that God created the universe out of nothing, that He made the heavens and the earth, that God formed Adam and Eve from the dirt of the ground, that there is a devil and a demonic forces, teaches that there was a worldwide flood, that God caused the languages of the world to be dispersed, and it says that there will be a new heaven and an earth, and it teaches that there is going to be a judgment day where all people who have ever lived will face the God of the universe. You know, we know that the Bible is the Word of God because of prophecy. There's a lot of prophecy in the Word of God, and that prophecy came true. Look over with me to Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. Again, it's talking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. His hands are nailed and pierced. They cast his garments. They part his garments among them. This was prophesied way before, 1,000 years before Christ was, and 400 years before crucifixion had been invented. Yet it accurately depicts the crucifixion. We can see that prophecy was fulfilled. And there's multiple prophecies that have been fulfilled. In Isaiah, it talks about him being born of a virgin. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. In Isaiah 53, it talks about him being rejected by his people. In Zechariah, it talks about his side that would be pierced. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one mourns for an only son. And there's prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that has come true. There's a statistician named Peter Stoner that calculated the probability of Jesus fulfilling only 8 prophecies. And there's a lot more than 8 that were fulfilled. But if only 8 prophecies were fulfilled, he had concluded it would be as 1 times 10 to the 17th power. Anybody know what that number is? I don't even know. It's with 17 zeros. So it's like 100 billion, million. So if you want to play the lottery, this is not the one to play. So this is the best way to illustrate it. Stoner illustrates it by supposing that we take 10 to the 17th power of silver dollars. So we're going to take 10 billion, million, 17 silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover all the state 2 feet deep in silver dollars. Now you're going to mark one of those silver dollars and somehow stir the whole mass thoroughly. I don't know how you stir that many silver dollars. You're going to take one, you're going to mark that silver dollar all over the state. Blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up the one silver dollar and say that is the right one. That is the chance of 8 prophecies being fulfilled in the Word of God. What chance would he have of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had of these 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspired word of God. Basically, if you go back to the Greek, which means God breathed. Paul meant that God, by means of his Holy Spirit, guided the Bible writers to write only what he wanted them to write. Charles Hodge put it this way. Inspiration was an influence of the Holy Spirit on the minds of certain select men, which rendered them the organs of God for the infallible communication of his mind and will. They were in such a sense the organs of God that what they said, God said. Inspiration refers to God as being the ultimate source for the Bible. You know, its origin. The Bible is not a collection of stories, fables, myths, or merely human ideas about God. It is not a human book. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. If you look over with me to the scripture reading this morning, 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 21. If you start with verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Each and every word in the Word of God, each and every jot and tittle was meant to be there and is there for a reason. And God breathed the Word of God. If you want to get closer to the person that created you, if you want to get closer to the person, the Almighty God, you know, so many times we get self-help books and how to create, how to go on a diet and how to lose weight and how to be, you know, you can get all those answers from the Word of God. Dig in to the Word of God. Talks about it in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God, the Scriptures, is the only thing that will show us or point us to the way of salvation. We have to be in the Word of God. Turn over with me to Titus chapter 1. It's only a page over after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. When we come to the Word of God, to me, we have two choices. It is either the inspired Word of God, it came literally from God himself, written to us, or God is a liar. Everything that he says, he you know, some people say, well, Jesus was a good prophet and he was a good man, and he couldn't have been. He either was Jesus Christ himself, or he was some crazy madman. Those are only two options. But as we dig into the Word of God, as we see the prophecy that was fulfilled, as we study the Word of God, we can see it is what it is. God cannot lie, and the Word of God is truth. You know, inspiration refers to the reliability of God's Word. The Bible is reliable. The Bible tells us not to add or take away from it. In Deuteronomy, it says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. And lastly, look up Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words, if the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Do not add. Do not take away. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Old Testament, New Testament, the entire Word of God. If you turn over with me to Romans chapter 15 real quick. So we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all from the word of his mouth. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, for whatever things were written in earlier times were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Just one thing that I want you to see real quick is that anything written before the Apostle Paul, and he's the one that wrote that, inspired by the Word of God, is written for our learning. We can't take it and apply it to our lives. We can't take it and go back to the Old Testament and say, we're going to do animal sacrifices. We're going to do build Noah's Ark. Anything written before the Apostle Paul was written that we can learn from it and that we can understand it. But you can't get your salvation message from it. You can't get the rapture from it. It's all written for our learning to understand that through patience and comfort, we may have hope. And the Word of God is inspired. It is God breathed each and every letter, each and every point. Again, we can learn from any part of Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, preach the Word, be diligent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We have to preach and teach only God's word. And again, when we can understand, when we realize that it is the inspired word of God, how much more does that make you want to read it? How much more does that make you want to get into the word of God? You know, the Bible is the mind of God. It shows his love for us, his will for us, his words for us. The Bible shows the state of man. We all know that we're sinners if we study the word of God. The Bible shows the way of salvation. There's only one way to him, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross of Calvary for us. He went to the cross and paid for our sins. And the Bible can show us the happiness of believers. How to go about the work of the Lord in life. And the Bible shows the doom of the sinner or the lost people. People have not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sins are no longer the issue, that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago and he paid for those sins. He paid for all mankind's sins. But it's up to you whether you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ or not. And again, when we can realize and when we can understand that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's given to us and each and every person, then we can realize that the word of God is God-breathed and inspired, and it should push us to follow the word of God. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Be ye doers of the word. And again, I look at Catalina. She's doing what the Lord has called her to do. You know, the sanctity of human life, whether it's babies, whether it's people, whether it's elderly, God values life. And the minute that you realize that the word of God is the inspired, that it's God-breathed, then we can take it and we can understand the hope that we have. We can understand the value of life. We can understand what he calls us to do. We can understand what he wants us to do. But you've got to start with the inspiration of the word of God. You have to believe that it is God-breathed. You have to believe that it came from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because the scriptures are the inspired word of God, we can conclude that they are also inerrant and authoritative. A correct view of God will lead us to a correct view of his word. Because God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and completely perfect, his word will be, by its very nature, have the same characteristics. The same verses that establish the inspiration of the scriptures also establish that it is both inerrant and authoritative. Without a doubt, the Bible is what it claims to be, the undeniable, authoritative word of God to humanity. And that is where we can get the value of life. That's where we can understand scripture. That's where we can take the word of God to the lost people and show them the love of Jesus Christ. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God. We just thank you that through prophecy that you proved that the word of God is real, that through many scriptures, that through creation, that through we can look out among us and see that through creation that you do exist and that you are real. We just thank you that through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you've given us life. Once we realize that the word of God is inspired and God-breathed, then we can take it to the next step and understand that through your Son is salvation, that the only way to life is through the Son of Jesus Christ. We just thank you for the word of God, and we just thank you that we can open it up and we can grow in your grace and knowledge. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.